chapter 16. A crescent moon hung over the warm spring night, casting its cloak over the light early foliage of Mossflower Woods. Indifferent to the woodland floor, carpeted with dark green grass, dotted with bluebell and narcissus, Fortunata stopped in her tracks and held up a paw for silence. Immediately she was bumped by Brog and Scrat, two weasels who did not stop fast enough. Ferrets and weasels, in their turn, blundered sleepily into each other. Fortunata bared her teeth impatiently.
"Stand still, can't you? I think I hear something."
The patrol held its collective breath and listened intently. Scrat dropped his shield with a clang. They all jumped with fright. Fortunata cursed at the hapless weasel, but he was tired and weary of listening to pointless orders.
"Yo, what's the difference, Fox? We're on a right fool's errand in this jungle, I can tell you. Tramping about all day in full kit and armour without anything to eat and not a sight or sound of a living thing except the sign of our own paw tracks that we keep coming across. What are we supposed to be doing out here anyhow? That's what I'd like to know."
There were murmurs of agreement. Fortunata cut in quickly to stem any ideas of mutiny.
"All of you, get the soil out of your ears and listen to me. Can you imagine what will happen if we march back to Katir, empty-pawed? Well, can you? By the claw, it doesn't bear thinking about. Imagine the Queen. Do you think she'll say, 'Oh, you poor creatures, didn't you find any of those naughty woodlanders? Well, never mind. Come in and take off your armour. Sit by the fire and have a bite to eat.'"
One particularly stupid ferret grinned hopefully.
"Oh, that would be nice."
Fortunata was about to give him something painful to think about when she heard the noise once more.
"Shh! There it is again, coming right towards us. Right, this is your chance to carry out the mission properly. I want you all out of sight. You lot, get behind those trees. You others, hide in the bushes. When I give the signal, come out whacking. Use your spear handles, shields, branches, anything. I want them taken alive. Here they come. Hide quickly."
As the soldiers dropped out of sight, a cloud obscured the moonlight. At that moment, a band of dark shapes came into view. The vixen ran out shouting,
"No! An Abenatum troops!"
Spurred on by Fortunata, the soldiers dashed from hiding. They charged with a roar into the midst of the intruders, dealing out heavy blows, kicking, biting, scratching and pounding away at the enemy. The air was rent with blows, screams, thuds and yells of pain. Exulting in the chaos of the ambush, Fortunata seized the nearest figure and thrashed it unmercifully with her stick. Thwack! Bang! Crack!
Yeah! Oh, my God!
It was only when she kicked out savagely and splintered the wooden leg that the vixen realised she was close to slaying Ashleg.
"Stop it! Halt! Pack it in, you fools! We're fighting our own!"
Fortunata yelled at the top of her lungs. When the clouds moved, moonlight illuminated a sorry scene. The soldiers of Katir sat about on the grass, moaning pitifully, broken and fractured limbs, collective bumps, bruises, sprains, missing teeth, blackened eyes, contusions, and some very nasty scratches were much in evidence. Ashleg sat on the ground, nursing his wrecked wooden leg.
"You booby, you nuthead, you nincompoop of a fox, you..."
"Sorry, Ashleg, but how were we to know? Why didn't you signal that you were coming?"
"Signal? You brush-tailed blockhead, I'll give you a signal."
The Martin flung his broken wooden leg, catching Fortunata square on the tip of her nose.
"Ouch! You twisted little monster! There was no call for that. We thought you were woodlanders. It was a genuine mistake."
Ashleg rubbed a swollen ear.
"Woodlanders, don't talk to me about that lot. We patrol this forest until our paws are sore. Not a solitary mouse, not so much as a hair off a squirrel's tail or the damp from an otter's back."
The vixen slumped down glumly beside him.
"Same here. Where do you suppose they've vanished to?"
"Search me. Jamina will skin us alive when we get back."
Scrat threw down his spear and sat with them.
"Ah, you're right there. Oh, well, maybe we'll have more luck when it gets light. We may as well camp here. At least we can search around for roots and berries."
Fortunata and Ashleg looked at each other.
"Roots and berries? Yuck!"
Chib the Robin circled the crenellations of Katir in the dawn light. There was not a lot to interest the little spy. The garrison was still asleep. He noted each window and what was inside. Snoring ferrets, slumbering weasels, dozy stoats. Even Sarmina in her upper chamber, stretched out in splendour upon a heap of furs. The wildcat queen was dreaming troubled dreams of water, muttering to herself, pushing the air as if it were water enveloping her. Chib flew down and lighted on the parade ground near the wall. Keeping a watch for the eagle, he set about breakfast. From a small bag slung about his neck, he selected a candied chestnut. Not one of the big smooth ones, but a small wrinkled nut that had lots of sugar in the cracks. Chib liked them better that way. Chib noted that he was near something which looked like a drain outlet, a hole cut into the wall at floor level. He hopped inside, peering about curiously. It went slanting downwards as far as he could see. Nibbling the nut daintily, the fat robin explored the tunnel. It was quite dry under claw. Chib cocked his head to one side, listening to the sounds of ragged breathing from further down the tunnel.
Must be somebody still asleep.
Working his way further down, he found his progress arrested by three vertical iron bars set into the tunnel. This was no drain. It was the upper window of a cell. Chib edged up to the bars and peeped down. He was looking into the burning eyes of an emaciated wildcat seated below upon the damp stones.
Excuse me.
Gingivere shaded his eyes, staring upward at his strange visitor.
Please, don't fly away. I won't harm you. My name is Gingivere.
The robin cocked his head airily on one side.
Humph! You'll excuse my saying so, but you don't appear to be in any position to harm me. Must go now. I'll drop by and see you another time.
Chib beat a hasty retreat back up the tunnel. The wildcat with the staring eyes had quite unsettled him. At the edge of the tunnel, the robin ate the last of his nut, then flew back to Brockhall to report his findings. The day promised to be fine and sunny. Chib flew high, knowing that the sun in the east would shine in the eyes of predators looking west. He took not the slightest interest in the woodland floor far below. Had he flown lower, he would have noticed Ferdy and Cogs lying in a patch of open sward, fast asleep, their paws about each other, blissfully unaware that a short distance away, Clud was making an early start at the head of his patrol. Bella was up and about early that morning, being a light sleeper. She received Chib's information about Gingivere being imprisoned. This was already known to the Corrim through Martin and Gonf, yet it gave Bella pause for thought. Katir was now definitely ruled totally by the cruel Sarmina. Martin joined her for an early morning stroll in the woodland before breakfast. The badger had matters to discuss with the warrior mouse.
War is coming to Mossflower, Martin. I can feel it. Now that we are all at Brockhall, the defenceless ones are safer. But I listen to the voices at Corrim meetings. The squirrels and otters are not satisfied with merely resisting Katir's rule. They want to challenge it.
Martin felt the broken sword hanging about his neck.
Maybe that is no bad thing, Bella. Mossflower rightly belongs to the woodlanders. I will do all I can to help my friends live without fear.
I know you will, little warrior, but we are not strong enough. We have few who are trained in the art of war. If Bor the fighter, my father, were still ruling here, there would be no question he would fight and lead us to certain victory.
Martin noted the sad, faraway look in the badger's eyes.
He must have been a mighty warrior. Does he still live?
Bella shrugged.
Who knows? He followed his father, old Lord Brocktree, to go off questing. This was before Vidorga and his army arrived in Mossflower. My mate Barkstripe was slain in the first battle against Katir. My son Sunflash lost to me forever. Barkstripe was more farmer than warrior. Had it been Bor the fighter that faced Katir, we would have won. I am certain of it.
Martin turned his steps back to Brockhall. Goody Stickle was standing in the doorway, rubbing her paws together anxiously. As they approached, Bella spoke to Martin in a whisper.
Tell nobody of our conversation. I must talk to you further about certain important matters. Maybe later.
Martin nodded.
I will look forward to it, Bella. You have aroused my curiosity. Hey, Goody, why are you looking so worried?
Goody fussed with her apron.
Well, morning, Miss Bella. Morning, Martin. Have you seen aught of those two little logs of mine in the woods?
Ferdy and Cogs?
Bella shook her head.
No, Goody, I'm afraid we haven't. Is anything wrong?
The hedgehog gnawed her lip.
Well, they ain't slept in their beds last night. Besides that, there's two oat farls, a good wedge of cheese, and some of my best blackcurrant cordial missing from the larder.
Martin could not help smiling at the thought of the two little would-be warriors.
All that for breakfast? They'll go bang one of these days. I wouldn't worry too much, Mrs. Stickle. Knowing those two rascals, they'll be back by lunchtime for more food.
Ben Stickle emerged into the sunlight.
Aye, Martin's right, my dear. Don't you go a bothering your old head. Ferdy and Cogs is like new button mushrooms. They always turn up at a good meal.
Ben sat against a tree, chuckling as he filled his pipe. Gonf and Columbine came out to join them, the mouse thief passing his stomach.
Better hurry up, mateys. There'll be no breakfast left soon. Hey, Goody, I hear that Ferdy and Cogs are missing. We'll help you to look for them. Don't worry, they're probably somewhere nearby playing soldiers.
Goody knotted the apron strings anxiously.
Thank you, Gonf. Oh, I do hope they've come to no harm, Ben. Get up now and help Gonf and Columbine. I won't be happy until I see their mucky little snouts again.
Ben stood up and stretched.
So be it, Goody. Come on, you two.
Bella reassured her.
Now don't start getting upset, Goody. I'll send all the woodlanders out looking. They'll find them. Martin and I will stop here at Brockhall in case they come back, while everyone's out searching.
Goody smiled gratefully, although she was close to tears.
Thank you kindly, Miss Beller. I'll go and start cooking the lunch.
Shortly thereafter, Bella addressed a large party of willing helpers.
Listen now, friends. Ferdy and Cogs must be found before nightfall. Split up into small groups, search everywhere, and pay particular attention to small dens and possible hiding places. They may be lying asleep somewhere. Above all, be careful. There may be Katir vermin abroad in Mossflower. Don't shout out too loud or make unnecessary noise. Report back to me or to Martin. Off you go now, and good luck.
The woodlanders dispersed, eager to begin. Each creature searched in the best way it knew. Squirrels swung off into treetops, where they could scan the ground below. Otters made their way to the water to scour the banks and creeks. Mice and hedgehogs ploughed into the undergrowth. Moles trundled through last autumn's deep loam. The search was on. A blackbird in a sycamore raised its amber beak in a hymn of joy to the sun. Ashleg blundered into wakefulness, shivering from the damp. He hopped into the sunlight and leaned against a tree. Scrap joined him, but not before he had aimed a sly kick at the sleeping Fortunata.
Oh, are you going to lie there all day, lazy bones?
The weasel drew his paw swiftly back from the vixen's snapping jaws, far more used to sleeping in the open than the Cotea's soldiers. She had dug herself into the soft loam of the forest floor.
Mind who you call lazy bones, fathead. I've been lying awake here for the past 2 hours listening to you snore like an ailing toad.
Ashleg closed his eyes, letting the warmth of the sun seep through his damp cloak. With a sigh of resignation, he remembered the quandary they faced.
Can't you two stop squabbling long enough to give a thought to the mess we're in? We've beaten each other up, slept through the whole night without posting a single sentry, and now we've got to go back to face Zarmina sometime today. Look, if we must argue, at least let's argue about something useful. What's to be done about this whole fiasco?
Fortunata shook loose loam from her cloak, showering them.
Well, there were 3 patrols sent out to search this forest. Where have Clud and his lot got to?
As if in answer to the vixen's question, Clud came marching through the undergrowth at the head of his column. Scrap was the first to notice him.
Oi, Clud, over here! Where in hell's teeth did you get to? We haven't seen you since we left the fortress.
The weasel captain stuck a paw on his belt and leaned upon his spear, smirking knowingly.
Oh, we've been doing our job, don't you worry, Scrap. What happened to you lot? Did a pile of trees fall down on you?
It was nothing really. A little mistake. Could have happened to any beast.
Ashleg tried to sound casual.
And let me tell you, though, we haven't seen hide in the head of a living creature in this rotten maze of trees. We're rightly in for it when the Queen sees us.
Clud smiled confidently.
Speak for yourself, Ashleg. We won't be returning empty pod. Oh no, not us.
Why? What do you mean?
Fortunata interrupted eagerly.
Who have you captured? Where?
Clud sneered at the fox.
Oh, hello, vixen. You look as if you've been enjoying yourself. By the way, what happened to the old wooden leg, Ashy?
The marten was using a forked branch as a crutch, and he stamped it down bad-temperedly.
Listen, weasel! Will you stop waffling about and tell us what you've got instead of standing there looking pleased with yourself?
Clud beckoned with his spear.
Right, show 'em, lads.
The ranks of the patrol parted, revealing two small hedgehogs. They were gagged and thrust upside down, slung upon poles carried by four soldiers. Ferdy and Cogs were well and truly captured.